Dan Shulman would know at play-by-play voice, Sportsnet and ESPN, and joining us now. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, guys.
I spent yesterday, because that's who I am, wondering why 1 year? Why would Estrada accept 1 year? Certainly as a free agent, he could have gone out there and got, at least on term, got more than 1 year.
Just speculative on my part, but I think Marco's very comfortable here, and I think he probably felt the money was fair, and I thought it was too. I mean, the overall stats aren't the best that Marco's had in his 3 years as a Blue Jays, but I think here in Toronto within the organization, they can kind of look at that 10-start stretch in the middle of the year and say, well, maybe that was a blip. It's still the Marco from 2016 and 2015. So, I think the Blue Jays are saying, hey, we still believe in you. We still think you're the guy that you've been for most of the last 3 years. And I think Marco is comfortable and kind of, you know, likes being comfortable. So I think it was a fair deal on both sides. I thought it might be maybe a one plus an option, that kind of a situation, rather than just a straight one. But I think it's a good move for both sides. I think Marco gets a little peace of mind, and I think the Blue Jays have one less thing to worry about in the offseason.
Well, and Dan, we were saying earlier, and we say a lot of things that are easy to disagree with. This one might be tough, that it's, the books are very clear for this team in 2019. So there's a, but you're bringing basically the whole band back together. It's like a reunion tour. Hopefully everyone's healthy. But in 2019, Dan, they're committed to Martin. They're committed to Tulowitzki, probably Smoke and Kendrys Morales, and basically no pitchers except the ones they have under control. So they should be able to mold it with a little more moving pieces and a little more clay than they can next year. They're kind of caught with some salaries next year.
Yeah, it's going to take a little while. I mean, there are those who would say they're caught beyond next year because of Martin and Tulowitzki's deals, but as Mark Shapiro said on The Fan yesterday, I mean, you can't just flip a switch and you know, get younger and better right away. I mean, when you're locked into some contracts, you're locked into some contracts. So, I think the Blue Jays are hoping that maybe next year, you know, Arizona had a dismal year last year. Everything that went wrong could go wrong, but internally, they felt, and they had a change of GM and manager, which is, you know, not the situation for the Blue Jays, but internally they felt, you know what, it was just a blip. It was just one of those years where Murphy's Law ruled, and they didn't think that it would be like that this year, so they didn't tear it down. And I think the Blue Jays are hoping that. I mean, you know, if Sanchez is healthy, if Travis is healthy, if Tulowitzki's healthy, you know, Donaldson missed a lot of time. Marco had that 10-start stretch in the middle of the season. I think they think some things happened this year that won't happen next year, and they believe that they can still be competitive. I don't think they go into next year feeling they're, you know, a lock for 95 wins in a playoff spot. But I think they feel like they can kind of straddle the fence, try to be competitive, but at the same time, if it doesn't work, you know, then I think you could see some changes in July of 2018, and then they really start thinking about
it. Yeah, and I think they do all that too, but the kind of, no GM hits, bats 1,000, so the bad bets they made with Jose, left field being a bit of a vacancy, not having a suitable backup catcher, not having a guy for Travis. That's obviously something they got to correct some of those in the offseason. Yeah. I'm sure that's goal number one, is to make sure, oh my goodness, Devin Travis is hurt again. Well, there's a great plan A. I mean, there has to be a better plan for when, if there is no Martin and if there is no Travis and if there is no Tulo, because this year it was obviously very patchwork for them.
Yes. And I think improving the overall depth of the organization is probably goal number one for Mark Shapiro. I believe that. And you're right. They still have, and that's another reason why I think getting Estrada signed is so important. They still have a long to-do list. I think they still need to go out and get one more starting pitcher, whether that's Brett Anderson or somebody else on the free agent market. I don't know. Probably a middle infielder, one, maybe two outfielders, a backup catcher, and I think a little help from the left side in the bullpen. And that's a lot. And before people say, well, they've got all this money to spend, you know, yes, Bautista's money in all likelihood is coming off the books. Liriano's money is coming off the books. You throw in Joe Smith, J.P. Howell, you're looking at $35 to $40 million. That's a lot. But they've got like eight eligible players for arbitration. And like a guy like Stroman's going to get a major raise next year. So arbitration is going to eat up a lot of the money that's coming off the books. And even with the Estrada signing, I think it's going to be a challenging offseason for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, you mentioned the depth upgrade. And, man, you look at what the Blue Jays had to throw out there this year. I love, if everybody's healthy, that is from 1 to 4 on the starting staff in that bullpen, you are sending out some pretty good pitchers next year where you don't have to kill yourself while everybody's looking for pitching. And yet, as we did the numbers, the guys they sent out because they had to this year that they didn't want to, the Kohlers, Lawrence, Tepish, Latos, Rowley, Valdez, Anderson, Bolsinger, they were 9-16, or they're in those games, the team went 9-16, and it seemed even worse than that.
Yeah, and even if they're 13-12, if they win four more games, what's their record right now, 71-80 or
yeah,
something like that?
Yeah, 10 games.
I mean, if they're 71-80, that if they win four more games somewhere, they're 75-76, and they're 2.5 games out of a playoff spot. Now, this has been a really weird year. It's a stagger to the finish line right now for the second wild card spot in the American League. But the point is, the Blue Jays just were unable to take advantage. And Mark Spiro said the exact same thing a couple of days ago. Of all the things that went wrong, even if just one or two of them hadn't gone wrong, this team might be poised to make the playoffs, to get a second wild card. But you know what? It didn't happen. It's not in the cards for them this year. But I don't think you can ever go into a season assuming everybody's going to be healthy. I think you can hopefully go into a season assuming they'll be healthier than they were this year. They had a significant number of injuries this year. But so did some other teams who wound up doing pretty well this year because their overall depth was better. So I know that's a huge goal within the organization. And I'm quite convinced that the AAA rotation will be better next year than it was this year, that they'll have more options. You know, but to assume that Hap, Estrada, Stroman, and Sanchez are all going to make 32 starts is setting yourself up for trouble. You've got to assume there's going to be an issue somewhere, and that's where you know, maybe it's Biagini starting the year at Buffalo as a starter to see how he does with a full winter and a spring training of a training regimen to be a starting pitcher and to get used to being from the wind up again. You know, maybe he's part of the depth. Baruchy part of the depth. Like, the depth is coming, but that wave is not all at AAA yet.
Yeah, it's, you know, I hate, Jays fans will hate this, our listeners will hate this, but look at the Yankees and the depth. And I know they spend more, but they had to make some hard decisions on veteran players the last couple of years, jettison some guys that might have still had some time left. But when you have, when Gary Sanchez works out, when Aaron Judge works out, when Torres can play, when Severino and Stroman both had bad years last year, and look at the bounce back they've both had. They're two of the best young pitchers in the American League now. And though they had things go wrong, Pineda losing his season, everything else seemed to break their way. It really did.
Well, I'll give you another example. Look at the Cleveland Indians and their depth. You know, Michael Brantley out again for a large chunk of the season. Jason Kipnis out for a large, Andrew Miller out for a big stretch. I mean, they've had to patch the rotation a little bit. They've had six or seven guys that they've rotated in and out. You know, Kluber missed some time. So, you know, the Indians obviously don't spend a ton of money. If you're a Blue Jays fan, you're looking for reason for optimism. A good part of that depth within that Indians organization was built by Mark Shapiro. So, I mean, again, this is a huge focal point for Shapiro and Atkins, is to not have 25 players they believe in, but to have 40 players they believe in, and guys they can dip down to the minors to get. But again, it doesn't happen overnight. I don't believe in overnight rebuilding jobs in baseball. I think, you know, sometimes the Yankees, they bridge the gap. Some guys overachieved, and they were able to stay competitive while they're technically in a bit of a rebuilding phase. You know, Arizona, as we mentioned, they viewed last year as a blip, and they were right. Guys came back to their career norms. Mm-hmm. This is better than a, say, 75-87 team. I don't think it's a 95-win team, but it's better than 75-87. So what I think they're trying to do, and Mark mentioned it on The Fan yesterday, you know, they are well aware of how many fans they have and the passionate fan base that they have from coast to coast, and they don't want to, you know, just, you know, turn their backs on that. They want to try to stay competitive, but at the same time, at some point, the team does need to get younger, and I don't think it can happen next year, but at some point, Morales and Martin and Tulowitzki, or, you know, their contracts will expire, and other guys will be here. But I think this is, instead of a full immediate teardown at any point, it's going to be a gradual thing. The only proviso I would say is if next year does not go well, then I think in July of next year they will try to make some significant changes. Whether they'll be able to do that because of the contracts, who knows?
Talking baseball with Dan Shulman. As unlucky as they were this year, they're still going to have to be lucky in the off season. You can have money to throw at free agents, but if they don't want to take your money,
right,
there's 29 other major league teams. We know the areas in which the Blue Jays need help and might have to spend money to get help. Doesn't mean that those guys are coming here.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I think the Estrada signing is good. Let's say they let Marco go. If you're going to go out and try to get somebody who's really going to be a key part of your rotation, you know, one of your top three guys, say, you're going to spend $13 million, at least that. Look at the free agent contracts pitchers have signed recently. So I think they have some cost certainty, and they know what they're getting here with Marco. You know, if they're going to try to save some money and go out and spend $4 million, $5 million on a pitcher, you're going to have to get extremely lucky, or you're not going to get a guy as good as Marco Estrada. And you're right. A free agency costs a lot of money, and not everybody wants to play everywhere, and not everybody wants to play in Toronto. Some guys would like to play in the U.S. Some guys would like to play closer to home. Some guys would like to play on natural grass. Some guys would like to play for a team they think is going to be a contender. Now, a lot of people love playing here, and that's great, but I think sometimes it is a little more challenging for the Blue Jays to bring in free agents than it is for some other organizations, and that's just another reason why that farm system's got to be productive, and it's going to be productive, but it's not yet ready to bear the fruit right now.
So you've caught a lot of incredibly memorable home runs, but probably percentage-wise, you've called more home runs on Sunday Night Baseball and in your Jays games because there's been more home runs hit in the major leagues. Do you feel like there might be a little bit of a dialing back? Like, we all were a lot younger in 87, but last night I had to look it up. 87 went from 3,800 to basically 4,500. The next year was back to 3,180.
Yep.
They correct. There's something weird that happened in 1987. We all know something was going on that was more the baseball because the players weren't as big. Do you feel like there's what we'd call a market correction? And maybe Rob Manfred's heard from people who are like, who want the ball in play? You're a play-by-play guy. You love a good double off the wall that a guy tries to stretch into a triple or a single that brings in two runs. We see less of those, and we see more dingers, obviously.
Yeah, I love base running and defense. I think those are two really exciting parts of the game, and I think both of those have been minimized to a certain extent because the ball's not in play as much. I did a game, I was telling the other guys the other day about it. I did an extra innings game in Chicago earlier this year, and I think it was 48 minutes between balls being in play. It was like a top half of an inning, a bottom, a top, and then part of a bottom where everything was a walk or a strikeout. 48 minutes, and you could have played the game with just a pitcher, a catcher, and a hitter. And that's it's just not the most exciting brand of baseball. I think there are two main reasons for it. One is, you know, because of analytics and everybody talking about launch angle and exit velocity, guys are trying to get the ball in the air, and strikeouts aren't seen as much of a negative anymore because of analytics. So I think everybody's swinging for the fences. I don't think that's going to change all that much. I think some teams are starting to value speed and versatility and defense and so forth. You know, Houston's an example of that. They've changed kind of the way they look at things a little bit in the last couple of years, but I don't think there will be a huge change. The other one is the great unknown, is the ball different? And if it's different, is it a great conspiracy theory? Is it, you know, did Major League Baseball make them different, or is it just coincidence that they were turned out differently this year? Baseball has definitely heard about it. Whether they dislike it, though, is another story. I know the pitchers do, but I'm pretty sure the hitters don't. So we don't have the answer to that question, whether the balls are different, and if they are, whether it was done intentionally or not. I bet you there is a market correction that it'll come down 5 or 10%, not a ton, but 5 or 10% next year, and baseball will say, no, nothing's different. We're not doing anything different with the baseballs. But I'd like to see the ball in play a little bit more.